Jaya Radha Madhava Kuncha Vihare. Jaya Radha Madhava Kuncha Vihare. Gopi Jan Balaba Giri Vardhare. Gopi Jan Balaba Giri Vardhare. Yashoda Nandana Vijayana Ranjana. Yashoda Nandana Vijayana Ranjana. Jamana Tira Pachari. Jamana Tira Pannachari. Jaya Adha Marava Kuncha Vihare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jaya Prabhu Pada, Jaya Prabhu Pada, Jaya Prabhu Pada, Jaya Prabhu Pada. Shri Prabhupada ki jaya, Jaya Mishra Padparaman Sibai Vijayakachai, Sada Shri Srimad Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada Maharaj ki jaya. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. All glories to the assumed devotees. All glories to the assumed devotees. All glories to the assumed devotees. All glories to Sri Guru and Gauranga. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. We're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 11, verses 4 and 5. Verse 4. Bala uchur aneneti. Tiryakatam ulukalam. Vikarshata matigena. Purushavapyachakshmahi. Chant. Bala churaneti. Tiryakatam ulukalam. Vikarshata matigena. Purushavapyachakshmahi. Bhaucha neneti. Yam Tiryakatam ulukalam. Vikarshata matigena. Purushava pishashahi. Ladies. Palachuraniti. Tiryakatam ulukalam. Vikarshata matikena. Shabhya chashmahi. Achuraneneti. Tiryakatamalukala. Vikarshata matikena. Purushava pichashmahi. Balaha. All the other boys. Uchihu. Said. Anena. By him, Krishna. Iti. Thus. Tiryak. Crosswise. Gatam. Which had become. Ulukalam. The wooden mortar. Vikarshata, by Krishna who was dragging. Madhigena, going between the two trees. Purusha, two beautiful persons. Api, also. Achakshmahi, we have seen with our own eyes. Translation. Then all the cowherd boys said, it is Krishna who has done this. When he was in between the two trees, the mortar fell crosswise. Krishna dragged the mortar, and the two trees fell down. After that, two beautiful men came out of the trees. We have seen this with our own eyes. Purport. Krishna's playmates wanted to inform Krishna's father of the exact situation by explaining that not only did the trees break, but out of the broken trees came two beautiful men. All these things happened, they said. We have seen them with our own eyes. Verse 5. Ateta ruktam chagriho na katete titasyatat balas yot patanam tarvo kichitsandik tachetsa. Translation. Because of intense paternal affection, the cowherd men, headed by Nanda, could not believe that Krishna could have uprooted the trees in such a wonderful way. Therefore, they could not put their faith in the words of the boys. Some of the men, however, were in doubt. Since Krishna was predicted to equal Narayan, they thought it might be he could have done it. Purport. One view was that it was impossible for the small boy like this to have done such a thing as pulling down the trees. But there were doubts because Krishna had been predicted to equal Narayan. Therefore, the coward men were in a dilemma. Mukam karoti vachalam bhangam langhate girim yakipantamam bande shiguru intinatarinam omagyana timirandasya gananjara shakaya chakshumiritam yena tasamai shiguruve namaha. So in Vrindavan, there are also some cowherd men where I live in India, this Vrindavan on this planet. And they have the same love for Krishna, very similar love for Krishna. If you tell them, oh, Krishna is so wonderful, he lifted Govardhan Hill, they will say, that's not possible. He's just a small boy. He couldn't have done it. They won't believe it because they have this love, this different type of love for Krishna. That he's just a small boy. And their feeling is we have to protect him. Not that he can do everything, but we have to protect him. So Vishwanatha Chakravarti comments on this verse that the coward men of Vrindavan understood Krishna had caused the trees to fall. But because of their prema, because of their love, they doubted it. So this is, they're expressing their doubts in these verses here. I have a book here, Mathura Meets Vrindavan, from Gargovind Maharaj. He explains a little bit more what was happening here and the feelings, the different feelings of the cowherd boys. The cowherd boys' feelings were a bit different from the cowherd men. They believed everything that Krishna did, but that also didn't stop their love for him. They just thought, well, he's a wonderful boy. So when Krishna was being bound up by Mother Yashoda and she was tying him to the mortar, then they were thinking, oh, our friend is tied up. How can we get him free? But they were afraid at the same time of Mother Yashoda because she was really angry with Krishna. So they didn't dare to come near. And they were whispering to him, just crawl down, get down and crawl. They were telling him what to do, actually. And so Krishna, he was crying, looking at his mother, he was crying. And then when he looked at his coward boys, he would sneak a smile at them. And he said, then after she left, he said, okay, I'm going to do something more mischievous than I did before. And he decided to crawl between the two trees and knock them over. Of course, when they did fall over, then everyone was alarmed by the huge sound, louder than thunder, louder than anything else. And of course, it cracked their hearts. So Prabhupada explained the feelings of the Brijbasis, that Krishna, every day he would go to the forest and he would kill a demon or two or else put out the forest fire. And his friends had complete faith that whatever, Krishna will protect us, doesn't matter what happens. And that's why they walked into the mouth of Agashara. And so Krishna would kill a few demons. And actually, they were just like playthings for Krishna. It's described, there's a verse in, I believe, third canto that says that Kamsa was sending all these demons for Krishna, to kill Krishna. But for Krishna, they were just like toys that he played with and broke after he was playing with them. And so Kamsa, in a sense, was doing a service because he was sending Krishna a toy duck, a toy snake, a toy, so many toys to play with, just like our kids. You get them toys and then they break them. And so Krishna, Kamsa was sending Krishna a lot of nice toys to play with, and he would break them, and they would be finished. So Krishna would kill a demon, and then the cowherd boys would come home, and they would tell their mother, oh, today Krishna killed this demon. And the mother would say, oh, Krishna is very wonderful. And Prabhupada explained, they would even tell Nanda Maharaj, oh, yes, my son is very wonderful. And then the cowherd men and the cowherd women, they would say, maybe he's a demigod. And Prabhupada said, they're not even sure about that, maybe. So they couldn't accept that he was the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Their prema was so much stronger than the Aishwarya, the awe and reverence that you find in the other places other than Goloka, other than Vrindavan. Another example, when Krishna was eating dirt, the cowherd boys went and complained to Mother Yashoda, and she said, she was bewildered. But after that, she came to her senses. She said, okay, just don't do it again. Her love for him overpowered her feelings of awe and reverence. And there's another story in Braj that one time Krishna was playing with his cowherd boyfriends. And Krishna lost the game. He had to carry somebody on his back. And so his friend said, okay, now you got to carry us. And Krishna said, I'm really tired today. I really can't do it. You know, it's just, I'm finished. And so they said, no, you can't get away. You have to do it. You lost. And Krishna said, today, really, I'm so tired. And then finally he said, all right, you know why I'm not going to do it? Because I'm God. And they said, yeah, right. Tell us another one. So then he actually showed. He took his Narayan form and everyone was worshiping him and the cowherd boys were looking. And then they were astonished. But then Krishna took his two-handed form again. And they said, okay, today you don't have to do it, but tomorrow you have to carry us if you lose. So they had the feeling that Krishna is their friend and nothing more. So there's a verse in Bhagavatam, a few chapters ahead, chapter 9, where it's described Mother Yashoda, how intense her love was for Krishna. She's overpowered by love. And she didn't ever think how powerful he was because of her maternal affection. But although he was so powerful, he was afraid of her. And Kunti, when she was saying her prayers, she was bewildered because she couldn't understand. She could understand if Krishna was pretending, but he wasn't pretending. He was really afraid. Although fear personified is afraid of him. So when Yashoda was chasing Krishna and she had the stick, then Krishna was very afraid. And he was begging her, please don't beat me. And she said, well, you know, if you don't like getting beaten, then why did you break the yogurt pot? He said, okay, I won't do it again, but just throw your stick down, please. So the demigods are amazed when they see these pastimes happen, that how can our boss, Krishna, be playing in the dirt with his friends? How can he be afraid of the stick? And we're all afraid of him. As it says in Bhagavatam, the wind blows out of fear of the Supreme Lord, and the sun shines, and the planets twinkle because out of fear of him. So in Bhagavatam, there's a verse in the 9th chapter, Supreme Personality of God, it has no beginning, no end, no exterior, no interior, no front, no rear. In other words, he's all-pervading. Because he's not under the influence of the element of time, for him there's no difference between past, present, and future. He exists in his own transcendental form at all times. Being absolute beyond relativity, he is free from distinctions between cause and effect, although he is the cause and effect of everything. That unmanifested person who is beyond the perception of the senses had now appeared as a human being, and Mother Yashoda, considering him her own ordinary child, bound him to the wooden mortar with a rope. So now it's meditation time. We want to try to picture how Krishna looked at this age. So I want you to try to be very visual at this point in the class. I'm going to read you something from Nectar of Devotion, which will describe what Krishna looked like at this age. The upper portion of Krishna's hair falls around his eyes. Sometimes he's covered with cloth around the lower part of his body, and sometimes he's completely naked. Sometimes he tries to walk, taking step by step, and sometimes he talks very sweetly in broken language. These are some of the symptoms of his middle Komara age. He is thus described when Mother Yashoda once saw him in his middle Komara age. His scattered hairs were touching his eyebrows and his eyes were restless. But he could not express his feelings with proper words. Still, when he was talking, his talk was so nice and sweet to hear. When Mother Yashoda looked at his little ears and saw him naked, trying to run very quickly with his little legs, she was merged into the ocean of nectar. Krishna's ornaments at this age are a pearl hanging from the septum of his nose, butter on his lotus-like palms, so that's one of his ornaments, is butter, and some small bells hanging from his waist. It is stated, when Mother Yashoda saw the child moving, ringing the bells on his waist, smiling at her with a pearl between his nostrils, with butter in his hands, she became wonderfully pleased to see her little child in that fashion. When Krishna was in the middle of his Komara age, his waist became thinner, his chest became broader, and his head was decorated with his curly hair, resembling the falling of the wings of a crow. These wonderful features of Krishna's body never failed to astonish Mother Yashoda. At the end of his Komara age, Krishna carried a small stick in his hand. His clothing was a little longer. He had a knot around his waist, resembling the hood of a snake. In that dress, he used to take care of the calves near the house. And sometimes he played with cowherd boys of about the same age. He had a slender flute and a buffalo horn bugle. And sometimes he played on a flute made from the leaves of trees. These are some of the symptoms of the end of Krishna's Komara age. So Mother Yashoda, as a normal mother, was always in anxiety about Krishna, that the monkeys would get him. In Vrindavan, we have this anxiety also still, that the monkeys, they do get the children sometimes, actually, and they bite. Even us, they bite, too. I just got bit the night before I was to leave on the Shinga Chaturdashi. So, yes, there's the cows with horns, there's fire, there's animals, there's monkeys, and she was always worried about protecting Krishna. She's always in anxiety. So when she heard this, the falling of the trees, Nectar of Devotion describes how she, what was her reaction when she heard these trees falling, that she became so overwhelmed with emotion, she just started staring up at the sky, and she couldn't move, and that was her reaction. Just started looking up. And Rohini, on the other hand, was angry with Mother Yashoda. According to Nectar Devotion, chapter 47, she said, "You may be expert in giving lessons to your son by binding him with rope, but don't you look to see if your son is in a dangerous place? The trees are falling on the ground and he's simply loitering there." So there is anger. And Rohini got really angry at Mother Yashoda at this point when the trees fell. So Damodarastakam describes also a little bit in depth the scene that we are seeing now in these verses of Srimad Bhagavatam by Satyavrat Muni. Kuveratmaja bhata mutyaiva yadvat tayamochita bhakti bhajau kitau cha hata prema bhaktim swakam me prayacha namakshe graho me sti damodareha. O Lord Damodar, although Mother Yashoda bound your divine form to a wooden grinding mortar, you mercifully delivered the sons of Kuvera, Manigriva and Nalakuvara, who were cursed to stand as trees, and you gave them the gift of devotional service. Please bless me in the same way with your most wonderful prema bhakti. I have no eagerness for any other type of liberation. So Kuveratmajo, the two sons of Kuvera, they got the direct vision of the Lord. But generally, this vision you don't get until you have prema or bhava in the process of shraddha to prema. So how did these two debauchees deserve to get the vision of the Lord? Actually, how did they get this mercy? Why did they? And they not only they got to see Krishna, he gave them bhakti. He gave them prema. So isn't that amazing? So what did they do to deserve this? Who can tell me? So all of you don't fall asleep. Very good. Mercy of pure devotee, Narada Muni. Narada Muni. They got the mercy. Bhakta Vatsala. So Krishna he had to fulfill the words of Narada Muni, just like we have our Srila Prabhupada. And Prabhupada has spoken many wonderful promises for us. And Krishna has to honor his promises. Dinabandha Prabhu was telling after one class in Los Angeles, Srila Prabhupada said, if you simply chant 16 rounds and follow the four regulative principles, you will go back to Godhead. And then Prabhupada said, I guarantee it. And he said it twice, I guarantee it. So we have this promise. We have the words of the pure devotee. Prabhupada promises that if we simply do this, of course there's a quality to it and avoiding offenses. And actually it's very difficult to do these two things, follow four regulative principles and chant our 16 rounds, especially now in Kali Yuga. I get letters, a lot of letters from mothers, and they say, oh, now I have my baby, I can't chant my 16 rounds. They tell me and say, how do you do it? I said, well, you know, I had my baby when I was 40, and I was at the bookstall, and I was feeding him at the bookstall and selling books at the same time. So it's possible. You may have to do it the whole day, but it's possible. It's possible to chant your 16 rounds and follow the four great principles. So this is Prabhupada's mercy. He gave us a lot of mercy if you read his book. So many promises in the beginning of Bhagavatam. It is said that if you submissively and attentively hear Bhagavatam, Krishna, you will capture Krishna in your heart. So Prabhupada in the purport, he said that just if you have the sincere desire to hear, that's your qualification. That's all you need to have, is that sincere desire to hear about Krishna. So that approach and find all the promises that Prabhupada gave us, and we will be very happy. But then the problem is to try to follow his instructions so that we can get the result of those promises. So here, the purport of this verse is that Krishna is bound by the love of Narada, and he's also bound, the ropes are binding him, the love of Yashoda, he's bound by the love of his devotees. As described in Chaitanya Charitamrita Adi Lila, the process of how you can also bind Krishna in your heart. And it begins with the appearance of Gaur-Nitai. Gaur-Nitai appear, and they also appear in your heart. And after they appear in your heart, Krishnadas Kaviraj says, they help you meet the two kinds of Bhagavatas, Book Bhagavat and Devotee Bhagavat. So after they help you meet the two kinds of Bhagavatas, then Bhakti Rasa comes in your heart by the association of these two, Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya. By the association of the Bhagavatas, you get Bhakti. Then after you get Bhakti, what happens next? What's the next step? What's the next thing that happens after you get Bhakti? Of course, a lot of things happen, but according to what we're talking about now, something happens after you get Bhakti. It's all there in the verses of Chaitanya Charitamrita. Step by step, what happens to you? What? You get ecstatic symptoms, okay. Yeah. You serve the Lord. Ishtadev.
Under this Raja Bhakta.
Raja Bhakta. Right. Right.
You have those sanchari bhav, pranidhi sanchari.
Okay, okay.
And you start with those sthayi bhav. First thing is the sthayi.
Sthayi bhav. Good. So these things are all true. Let's hear what Krishnadas Kaviraj says. And it's very much in keeping with this Damodar Lila. After you get bhakti in your heart, then you control Krishna. That's what happens next. So this is what happened here in this Damodar Lila. Yashoda controlled Krishna, Narada controlled Krishna. The devotees are controlling Krishna. Krishna's not independent. When he was chased by, when Durvasa Muni was chased by the Sudarshan Chakra, and he went to Narayan for help, Narayan says, I'm sorry, I'm not independent. I am under the control of my devotees. So this is the purport of this Damodar Lila, how Krishna is under the control of his devotees. The cowherd boys were telling him something, and so he listened. And Mother Yashoda wanted to tie him up, so he agreed. So all these things, this is Krishna's relationship with his devotees, how he's controlled by his devotees. So another point is, although Krishna was himself... Yeah, it's falling, isn't it? It keeps falling. Uh-huh. So although Krishna was bound himself... He liberated these two Nalakavera and Manigriva. They were liberated, although Krishna himself was bound. Generally, if you want to get liberated, you have to get help from somebody who's liberated. But at this point, Krishna was bound. But even though he was bound, he could still give you liberation. So that's another point that these Acharyas and Śrīla Prabhupāda, they point out in these verses here of Damodara Lila, that Krishna is bound, he gives liberation. But if we are bound, we cannot give liberation. The demigods cannot give liberation. They're all bound by Krishna. So then the last verse of Damodarastika. Namaste stutamne svara diptitamne tariyadarayata vishasya dhamne namaradikayay tadiyapiyayay Namanantalilaya devaya tupyam. O Lord, I offer respectful obeisances unto your belly, the abode of the entire universe, which is bound by Mother Yashoda with a brilliantly effulgent rope. To this rope I offer my humble obeisances. I offer repeated obeisances to your dearmost beloved, Srimati Radharani, and I bow before you, who are performing unlimited super excellent pastimes. So he's offering obeisances to the associates, to the rope, to the belly of Krishna, to arouse the mood of bhakti. So the rope is explained is the source of the Brahman, actually. It's very effulgent. So it's the source of the Brahman, this rope. And the poet suggests, so that's what the poet is suggesting here, Satyavrat. And to the belly. So we know what the belly of Krishna is. What's that rishi? Markandeya Rishi. He got sucked into the belly of Krishna and he saw the universe. Mother Yashoda also, the acharyas explained, when she looked in Krishna's mouth and saw the universe, it wasn't actually in his mouth, she was looking into his belly. And the universes are all in his belly and she could see the universes there. So Yashoda binding Krishna means she bound the whole universe with her rope. So what an amazing rope, and that's why he's offering obeisances to the rope. Because this rope, we heard that the universe is 4 billion miles big, so it bound the whole universe. So this is the power of the love of the devotees. It can bind the whole universe. Mother Yashoda's love bound the whole universe. So this pastime is the most wonderful expression of Vatsalya Bhav, nectar of devotion. There's a list of devotees who are enjoying this parental affection. Yashoda is number one on the list. And there's 9 people on the list. Number one is Yashoda. Number two is Nanda Maharaj. Number three is Rohini. Yashoda, Nanda, Rohini. Number four is all the gopis whose sons were taken away by Lord Brahma, because they got to be the mother of Krishna. So they're number four. So we're still in Braj. Now we're going to move out to Devaki. Out of Braj, she's number 5. Number 6 is the other 15 wives of Vasudev. They were also, they had the next. And then Kunti is number 7. And Vasudev is number 8. And Sandipani Muni is number 9. So these are listed in Nectar of Devotion in order of importance. Yashoda is number 1. So we know the difference between Vasudeva and Devaki and Yashoda. When Krishna would do something wonderful, like when Krishna killed Kamsa, then they offered prayers to Krishna. Vasudeva Devaki, they were saying, oh, you are the Lord, you are this and that. And then Krishna had to bewilder them to forget. Because he didn't want prayers from his mother and father. He wanted their love. So if you go to Braj and Yashoda sees Krishna do something wonderful, she will offer prayers, but not to Krishna, to Narayan, to protect Krishna. So it's a quite different feeling. And she wants to protect. She feels like if I don't protect Krishna, something will happen to him. Despite all the wonderful things he does, she's still thinking, no, I have to protect him. She couldn't believe, the coward men couldn't believe, because they have such a strong love. So this material love, it could not be stopped by any amount of Aishwarya. Krishna could show them anything and they wouldn't believe. They would still, no, he's our son. And also Jagannath Mishra, he had that with Lord Chaitanya. He wanted to go and beat him. He was chasing him with a stick. And then he had a dream and a Brahmin came and said, no, this is not your son. This is the Supreme Lord. You should not do this. And Vasudeva said, yes, he may be, but still he's my son. He may be the Lord. He may be anything. Still he's my son. So we pray, we hear these leelas, and we pray to have this love. We want to follow in the footsteps of the Brijbasis. And we should read Krishna book. We should hear these pastimes. Because these are the people whom we're going to be living with for the rest of our eternal lives. So we should know who we're going to be living with. Our neighbors, our friends, all these associates. They are going to be our family. They are our family. I mean, it's just because we're an illusion that we don't understand, we don't realize that this is our family. Yashoda's, we have a relationship with all of these wonderful people in the spiritual world. And even now we can hear and we can be in relationship with them. So we pray that we can get this love of the Brijbasis someday. And we can also feel like that for Krishna, that, you know, I have to protect him now. Of course, when you're a pujari, you sometimes get that feeling. I had that when I was a pujari in Calcutta in the 70s, and I felt like I had to protect the deities. There was this one crazy lady who used to come, and she would, the way she would offer things was throw them at the deities. And one time she was throwing soap, she was throwing everything. And I had to, you know, one time I had to drag her down the stairs. So, bump, 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 you know. But, so you feel like you have to protect Krishna sometimes. Yeah, you get that feeling when you're a pujari sometimes. So, yeah, anyway, even in this world you can have that feeling sometimes. So, okay, we'll stop here. Are there any questions or comments on this, these verses? Yes, Prabhu.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. That's a summary. If we go to Madhulila 8, Achha. Chapter 8, 139, in the Parvar Prabhupada writes that how this actually transition takes place. So if you take that one and then you go to Sanatana Shiksha, 397 text, I believe, or 398, big purport of how this transition take place.
The Sanchari Bhavas and all that.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So we have to have a revive of Sai Bhav, which is our Prabhupada translate dominant and permanent eternal emotion that within us we have.
Yes.
He randomly quote this verse, Nitya Siddha Krishna Prem Saddha Bhavanaya.
Thank you.
Then he says, after that, one will transfer to a planet where Krishna Lila is going on.
Right.
Prabhupada repeated this again in Krishna
book. In Krishna book, yeah. Yes. He said that.
Also in Madhya Lila 21.397, that then he says he will take birth from the womb of a gopi.
Yeah.
That time, that 139 matches, that the Sorgata Siddhi will become Bostugata Siddhi.
Oh. Wonderful.
That time, under the association with the Nitya Siddha Brajavasi, according to Prabhupada, then all the last trace is gone.
Yeah.
That time, the Krishna will come. That verse is given. Sei prema hoite Krishna hoi nija bhakta bhas.
Right.
He comes under the devotee at that time.
It takes time.
Yeah.
Thank you for filling in all the missing steps. Haribol.
No, it's exciting. That's
fine. Yes, it was a summary. Actually, it's the first chapter of Adi Lila. So in the Adi Lila, the whole summary of the whole Chaitanya Charitamrita is there. So, yeah, since time is limited, I thought it was better to have a summary here. Yeah. But thank you for filling in all the other missing parts, missing links. Yes, thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for the nice class. When you asked the question about why the Manigriva and Nala Kuvera were got this opportunity, you were saying that it was because of the mercy of Narada Muni. I wondered, you know, I remember in the classes it was described that Kuvera was actually a friend of Narada Muni. So I was wondering if that fact that he was a little more disposed to them and that had played in it. And I was thinking just in terms of of our devotional community, you know, that maybe if parents are really good devotees, and maybe that their children could get some special mercy.
Yeah, well, that's a fact. I mean, it's nothing to do with Kuvera and all that, but Prabhupada, even Sri Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati said that if you, I can't remember exactly where he said it, in some shiksha, he said that if you become a pure devotee, 100 generations before and after will get liberation. If you become a Madhyama preacher, 14 generations before and after will get liberation. Madhyama. If you become a Kanishta, 3 generations before and after will get liberation. And so one devotee asked Prabhupada, well, what liberation do these relatives get? And first of all, he asked Prabhupada, well, does that include your aunts and uncles and cousins and, you know, all the relatives? Prabhupada said, yes, it includes everyone. And then they asked, well, Prabhupada, what liberation? There's so many kinds of liberation. So what do they get? Prabhupada said they become devotees. That's their liberation. Best liberation. Yeah, so, yeah, it does. So that's why when I saw, you know, sometimes my son was doing a lot of nonsense, I thought, okay, well, I've got to just become really a nice devotee myself. And it actually worked, and now turned around, and he's doing nicely in Krishna consciousness. Yes?
Hare Krishna. Very nice class.
Thank you.
We find that the residents in Vrindavan, some of them were doubting that
right.
Krishna could have done these things. And we also find that the materialists would doubt that Krishna can do these things.
Right, it's a different doubt.
Yeah. So my question is these doubts. I mean, what's the difference between these two doubts?
Well, there's two different... it's the same energy which is working in different ways. Or you can see them as two different energies. The materialist will be under the influence of Mahamaya. And so they will doubt that Krishna can do... They won't even believe in Krishna. Or if there is a Krishna, then he must be like me, because he had two hands and two legs. And so therefore he can't be God, he can't be all-pervading. So that's Mahamaya. Because you're seeing everything in terms of yourself. Your vision, manyate, what is that, jagat? Atmavan manyate jagat. So they're seeing like that. So that's the... influence of the material energy. But the devotees, they're under the influence of Yogamaya, the spiritual energy. And the spiritual energy can also work to bewilder you. But the materialistic people, they're bewildered by lust. And the spiritual people, the devotees, are bewildered by love. So it's a different kind of bewilderment and different kind of bewilderment. Yogamaya, Mahamaya, lust and love. And this base very summary. Yes?
I was just thinking that in our devotional line is that whatever the great acharyas or devotees describe, then that's our authority. So I was kind of a little bewildered, but on the other hand, I was trying to understand. These little boys, they were telling all these Brijvasis, well, yes, this is true because we have seen it. And then that became the authority of the Bhagavatam, as stated in this verse here today, that is accepted as, yes, it actually happens. So I'm just wondering, like...
the little boys became the authority.
Yeah, so what's
well,
their,
we also have Shukadeva Goswami, who I'm sure was there. Well, he heard it from his father, and they heard it and heard it and heard it. Yes, that's really interesting, though. I think that's a really interesting point, how these little cowherd boys were the authority, but not for the cowherd men, maybe for us. For us, they are the authority. Oh, that's a very interesting point. And when Krishna ate the dirt, who are you going to believe now? who do you believe, Krishna or the cowherd boys? Which side are you on? Did he eat the dirt or did he not eat the dirt? Who is the authority? So Mother Yashoda accepted the authority of the cowherd boys in that case. When Krishna ate dirt, she believed the cowherd boys. She didn't believe Krishna. She knew Krishna very well. So she didn't believe him. She believed the cowherd boys. Yes, I know my son. I'm sure he did eat dirt. And Krishna said, no, they're telling lies. I didn't eat dirt. Then I know you. I believe them, not you. Yes. Oh, the evidence is there that?
They sell prasadam.
They sell the dirt at Brahmanda Ghat, okay? So everybody believes the cowherd boys. Why shouldn't we? Even today, the Brijbasis believe the cowherd boys. And they're selling the dirt that Krishna ate. Yes?
But it has many aspects.
I'm sure.
Who?
Sanatana Goswami in Vaishnava Tosani writes that opulence, 100% opulence in Vrindavan all the time, but it's predominated by 100% sweetness. Mm. So opulence is like a boiling milk with a straw. Mm. I don't know, in America they don't do it probably, but in village,
in the village.
My mother does. Yeah, the straw sometimes come up. So the opulence is considered like the straw. That once in a while it comes up and then it goes down.
Right.
But it serves, the opulence of vibhuti, Aishwarya Shakti always want to serve the Brajavasi, but Brajavasi doesn't want.
Right.
So that's what conflicts.
Yeah, Vibhuti Shakti and Leela Shakti.
Leela
Shakti. They are conflicting.
Correct. And it has to be there, so this is how.
Yes.
I just wanted to make one point that you read Nectar of Devotion,
yeah,
that Mother Rohini is. But if you go, this chapter, I think 13 or 14, you'll see in the purport Prabhupada writes, I mean, next week we'll read it, that Prabhupada writes that Mother Yashoda's attachment for Krishna Balaram is much superior than Rohini.
Yeah.
Even Rohini went there, could not bring them back. But so Prabhupada writes, this is not in the verse, but Prabhupada. So the point is that when Rohini got angry, you found it?
Yeah.
It's not really anger.
Anger and ecstatic love. It's
right,
ecstatic emotion.
She knows that Yashoda's love is much superior than her.
Right, right, right.
So this Leela is you call renewing Vatsalya Ras.
Yeah. Vatsalya. Thank you. Thank you for that. Yeah. I read the list where Rohini is number 3.
Yes.
So, yes. Yeah, it was an emotion. It was an ecstatic emotion of anger. It's not like our anger. It, whatever they feel, it's you know, Sanchari Bhav. Anything they feel, even if they're angry at Sanchari.
I just want to make one more. Oh. Just that when Vatsalya Ras predominates,
right,
no other Ras, unless Madhur Ras comes, can supersede. That's why all the boys, Sanatana Goswami Pada writes, try to untie this.
Mm-hmm.
And Madhu Mangal came, come on, you all step back. I can do it. I'm the strong. So he tried, but everybody failed. So
yes.
Question came, how strong Mother Yashoda tied? Nobody could. So what about Balaram? So Balaram came. And he saw, he was very furious. He said, who has done this? Then Madhu Mangal whispered, Mother Yashoda. So he went there and he told Mother Yashoda, how could you do this? Maya, you could not have done. Do you know who is your Lala? He is the supreme God. Not only him, I am also God. I am Shankarshan. I can destroy the whole universe in a moment. And Mother Yashoda came with Tarjani, what he called a pointer. He said, one more word, Balaram, I'll tie you up with him. Balaram got so scared, he ran away. He didn't even stay near Krishna when the tree fell.
Which acharya was? Oh, this was
Sanatana Goswami.
Sanatana Goswami, okay. Good.
Radharaman Maharaj knew it also. I was mentioned, we are talking
very
about
good,
it.
Very good, very good.
And then, so Balaram was not nearby. And Mother Yashoda was in the actually cleaning the mess that he made of the butter leaking from the pot.
Right.
That's why she could not see actually when the tree fell.
Right.
There's a one verse says, Sparo Natasya so Shat Krishna Lila Anusharata. According to Krishna Lila, the Vrindavan, shrink or expand.
Yeah.
That has to be followed. Otherwise, that question will arise, doubt.
Yeah.
How long these two boys praying to Krishna? How come they came so late?
Yeah.
How come Nanda Maharaj was not there? He says it's not like that. It's like as soon the Vastu Siddhi, the Krishna accepted in their prayers, it may be half an hour, it may be 10 minutes, it could be 2 hours, then Jogamaya, that sound reached according to their needs, and then everybody came.
Mm.
Otherwise that will come, how long this prayer took? They had a long talk.
Right.
So like this, to be understood.
Thank you. Thank you for that. Yes, Prabhu, do we have time, or can we? Okay,
we can
one. Yes.
I was also thinking that you read Sandipandi Muni.
Yeah, number 9.
On the last of the list, but he was Krishna's guru.
I know.
Yes, so just see the difference of all the others. It's kind of interesting to think about it and compare.
Yeah, guru is last on the list.
Yeah, he's the last on the list.
Interesting. Mother and father come first.
Yeah, and also in the Srila Jiva Goswami explains that after Mother Yashoda bound Krishna, that she was so angry with him that she just left and she went away.
Mm.
And so then all this took place. So.
Yeah, and there's so many things that happened after Nanda Maharaj untied him. He wouldn't go to Mother Yashoda for a long time. He just stayed with his father. He was angry with Yashoda. He just, I'm staying with my father. And she was crying, and then finally they had to make him go to her.
very sweet.
That has to be tomorrow. And I don't know, somebody is giving, he is giving class, so he can do that tomorrow. Save something for the other speakers.
Sandipani Muni, he doesn't have a Vatsalya Braja.
Gotcha.
He's a Brahmavati.
Yeah.
Even though he's a son of a Purumashi, but he's a Brahmavati.
Gotcha.
He's not a Vatsalya Braja. That's why he's number
9. Yeah. No, well, he has some Vatsalya. He must have some. Yeah.
Yeah,
not Braja. Well, even Devaki and Vasudev also. Okay, thank you very much. Agoyas to Srila Prabhupada. Hare Krishna.